Hey, good people. It's your girl, Fredrika McClary Easley, back with another episode of Bum 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 Bum, The People Are Blunt. So, yo, I have an amazing guest who is going to be coming to the stage in a minute, but you know I got to get some housekeeping done. So, y'all already know we are on all the platforms, YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Prime. Like, subscribe. Check us out. Leave messages. I respond to the messages. Let me know what you want to see. Let me know if you have questions, if you want follow-up with guests. Talk to me and I'll talk to you. Also, The People Are Blunt, we are on IG. We have our own IG page. I'm hoping that you have seen the reels that we've put out. They've been getting amazing traction. And so please keep showing love and support in that way. And without further ado, oh wait, one more thing, real quick, gotta plug this. Our girl Brianna Neff over at Brilixi. So y'all know that we've been doing, we have a new segment that's called The People Are Parched. And so make sure you use the code TPAB for 15% off over at Brilixi. I can't wait till we bring you the next installment of make sure that you cure your parched. Your parchment or your parched palate, whatever the case may be. But it has been so fun doing that. And we love the people over at Brilixi, Black owned business. We always support those. So make sure that you check them out. And without further ado, let me bring my guest up to the stage. Hey, here we go.
Hey.
We have Dr. Y'all see the DR. We have Dr. Denise Floyd here with us, repping the 313.
Yes.
Yes. Look, I spent a little bit of time in the D, so I love the D. It is like a second home to me.
Yeah.
I tell people that I would, if I had it my way, I would summer in Detroit and I would winter in New Orleans.
Okay. I love New Orleans. That's one of my favorite places to go.
That would be the split, because both of y'all have an amazing food, amazing music scene. I remember just years of being up there going to Shane Park, like amazing concert series during the summer.
Yeah.
Right on the water. I'm like, yo, I don't even know why the D gets such a bad rap. I'm like, this city is the bomb, for real.
It is. I love it. I love it here. Except for the winters. Like, I could do without that.
That's why I said summer, Miss Dunnies. I said we're gonna summer in the D.
And yes. Then we got it in the south. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So let's start off with introducing you to the people. We already know that you're from the D.
Yes, ma'am.
We already know that you a doctor. But give us a little bit more about who you are. And we'll get into specifically your journey to this space.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Denise Floyd, and I am the owner and founder of Legacy Greens. Legacy Greens is a fully integrated cannabis company, and I am an educator by trade. I mean, I know that's like an oxymoron, but almost 30 years in education, getting ready to retire soon, so I'm super excited about that. And we are here. We kicked the door in and we are here at the 313, getting ready to open. So we're truly excited about that.
Yeah. First of all, I have to give you your flowers because I remember some years ago meeting you.
Yes.
At a cannabis conference.
Yes, ma'am.
And you were really just starting out with doing all your research, you know, doing your networking, but you were there, you meant business, you know what
yes.
I'm saying? You had your lesson plan together, you know what I mean?
I see what you did there.
Yes, and you were, but I want to talk about that because when people are coming into the space and you're mm-hmm. going to these different events and things, you have to have a game plan, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And you have to really have your elevator pitch and know what you're trying to do and how to get the most out of people in the situations. So I want you to talk a little bit about like just your mindset when you decided like, yo, I want to get into this regulated space.
Man, that's a story. Do you remember how green I was back then?
All the pun intended.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to tell you, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I knew that this was a space that I was supposed to get into. I had absolutely no idea how challenging it would be, how much tape, how many hoops. I mean, I had my own businesses. I had two businesses that I was running at the time. So I'm thinking like this, like any other business, like, let me just go ahead and get in. And girl, was I wrong about that? I was super wrong. And I was like, well, why aren't people so friendly? I'm from education. We share everything, right? I'm like, why is this information so hard to get to? What is going on here? And that was what I was dealing with.
Yeah.
But I retooled and I started to learn quick. You know, I read every piece of legislation, regulation, you name it. I was reading and I'm like, yeah, this is interesting. And then I was running into people talk about how much of an expert they were in the field. I'm like, an expert? Wow, how are you an expert already? It took me almost 30 years in education. I'm just considered an expert in my field. Like, what? And it was all of these things that I was running up against. And it wasn't, information was not flowing freely. It was people like you, Christine, not to name a few other people who were just like, yeah, give me a call, jump on a call. And I didn't even know what I didn't know at the time. And it was people like you to kind of just put me on paths and the right path and things of that nature. And I'm so thankful for that, sis. Thank you. And eventually I just started to learn. But my story, my backstory is my brother, who's deceased now, bless his heart, and may he rest in peace, had sickle cell. And he was on all of these medications, Oxy, you name it. They was giving it to him. But the crazy part is they was giving it to him in a prescription, but if he went in for a crisis, they wouldn't treat him for pain. And he was in the hospital probably once every month, maybe twice a month, until he started to use cannabis. And he went from going to the hospital once a month to maybe once every 6 months, and then maybe once a year. We was like, hey, this thing is working. Yeah. It's working to treat this pain. It's working to treat these crises. You're not having crises anymore. And it just opened our eyes to just the municipal properties of the plant. And so when the regulations open here, at first it wasn't even on my radar. All I could think about was retiring because I was really close to the end of my career at the time. And then I had a prompting. It was a spiritual prompting. And I sat up in the middle of the night and I'm like, what you want me to do, Lord? And I was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I always tell this story the same way. And I was up and I'm just hacking it out. I'm like, I don't understand this. So I have a prayer partner who's also my cousin. And I waited till 6 o'clock to call her because 3 o'clock was a little too early. And she said, girl, what you tell me, what you want, what we doing? I couldn't rest last night and God told me to do whatever you told me to do. I said, girl, we about to be drug dealers. And we laughed and that set us on the path. And the rest is history. Like, I formed a business. I knew how to do that. Got the logos and stuff together, started trying to figure out this space, started reading, started researching, networking. And we just muddled through. And 2 years later, here we are with four licenses in the city.
Let's get into this real quick. Because like you said, it's been a journey. And like most cities, especially in urban areas, anytime they try and do something with equity, anytime, you know, they try to recognize communities that have been disparately impacted and harmed with the war on drugs, there are lawsuits, right? And there are stop and goes, and it just makes the process more troubling than it needs to be, right?
Absolutely.
But you've sifted through all of that. And so we have four.
Okay. One of them, our consumption lounge license will be the first dispensary in the city, potentially in this region, that actually has the consumption lounge inside of the dispensary. So we are truly excited about that. So you could come purchase and consume in the same space.
Which just makes sense to me, though. It just makes sense. Like,
perfect sense.
I don't know. Well, first of all, let me get into this. So you have four. So you have retail.
Yes.
You have consumption.
Yes.
you have your micro that allows you to be from seed to sale, right? That allows you to cultivate, manufacture, all that process, all that good stuff.
Yes.
And then you also have event.
Yes. Yes,
so
ma'am.
So you literally, for real, you are from the rooter to the tutor.
Yes, I am. We touch from the bottom to the top.
Yeah. Which is amazing because, first of all, to have control of the process like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Is amazing because you really get to curate for your customers and for your staff
mm-hmm.
what treatment and what customer service and the level of quality, like what that really is going to look like.
Yes, ma'am. That was the plan. That was the plan the entire time. I'm the type of person that don't like glass ceilings. And I didn't want anyone, just like my real estate, I didn't want a lease. We purchased. And I didn't want anybody to be in control of our destiny. I didn't want anybody to say, oh, by the way, you have a successful business, so we want to pull your lease after 5 years. What? No, we didn't want to be in that position. And we certainly didn't want to be in a position where we couldn't choose our product lines, pick who we were going to assist, because we are definitely assisting other black businesses with these licenses. And we didn't want to be in a position where someone else could control if and when we got product. That just was not an option. And so we wanted to make sure that we filled all of those gaps.
Yeah. 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 And that is a powerful position, because when you look at, you know, the market, you look at the control of pricing, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so when you're talking about product, you have, and I mean, look, this happens everywhere. This happens in all markets, but it's okay, well, you can cut this person a deal, but this person doesn't get cut a deal. And if you're looking at who all the growers are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
people
ma'am.
Tend to do business differently with their own, with people who look like them, with people who they're in community with.
Yes.
They do business differently.
Absolutely. And it was interesting because recently, I will say 3 months ago, I was at this pretty big cannabis event in this region. And there was a panel of people, I won't name any names, but one of the panelists stated, the question was, how do minority growers get their products on your shelves? And they pretty much said in the open forum, oh, we pretty much deal with our people first. We're going to make sure they stuff get up there first. And I chuckled. It was funny to me because everybody else, mouth flew up and I'm like, no, they speaking their truth. That's why we need to do this for ourselves, which is the reason why Legacy Greens is so dedicated to making sure we make room for Black and minority and BIPOC on our shelves, period. We have room. So come call us.
Yeah.
We're here for it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Legacy Greens, where did this name, what's the significance? How did you settle on this? Because I know everything that you do, there is meaning behind it. All the decisions have been manifested in some way. You know what I mean? You've meditated on it.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Legacy Greens, how'd you decide on that?
So as we were brainstorming and trying to figure out our not only our mission and our vision, that was clear. That was clear from the start. But how to just bring this forth with the message linked to our destiny, right? Legacy supports and embodies the legacy of wealth, our mission to build bridges to entrepreneurship, to restore, invest, develop, and educate the community. The green represents the money, the plant, the earth. So Legacy Greens embodies all of that. And it was just a natural, it wasn't even hard. Like we threw out about maybe six names, sent it out. We told people what we were doing and everybody, it came back unanimously, got about 50 to 100 people. That was the name. And we have lived in it and lived in that truth since. And so we're excited about the name. And it's so interesting because I hear people talk about the legacy market and all this other stuff. I'm like, yep, that was the idea.
Yeah.
Yep, that was it. So Legacy Greens embodies all of those truths.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite posters back here where you see that this is Mr. Wembley's work, a man behind bars holding the paper that just legalized marijuana. He's like, what? that's our truth in this community. You know, yes. This business is very interesting. It's a multi-billion-dollar business, and we still have people in jail. It's ridiculous. So that's part of our mission as well, to definitely restore that.
We talk about this often, right? Mm-hmm. The repairing of harm. Mm. And I don't know if there is a way in which this system, because the system wasn't made for us, that it could ever, 100% do that. But I love the fact that you are putting it in their face, that it is a constant reminder that legacy, that mm-hmm. traditional market that y'all demonized mm-hmm. and y'all weaponized,
yes.
you understand, that it is why we are here right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the essence of that, right? When you think about traditional weed smokers, you think about, traditional cannabis culture, it has always been communal.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And it's interesting because as we address stigmas, I work in the educational domain, and every now and then I'll have somebody whisper to me like, let me know when you open. I'm like, okay.
That's your customer base right there, boo.
Right. Like, I'm talking about whispering, and I'm like, we don't have to hide this. This is what we do. This is our medicine. I tell people, you take cannabis off the street and see what happens. These people can't medicate for the PTSD and the trauma and anxiety and all these other things. Take it off the street and see what happens. And so just knowing that, it's so crazy that the stigma is still there. And you still have companies that's testing for it. You can't get a job if it's in your system. I'm like, really? Come on. We in Michigan, it's regulated here. What are we doing? And so these are our missions, part of our missions that stop it. Let's let people use their medication when they need it. Of course, not at work, but if they need it at work or before work, why are we still testing? Have this on a panel of tests that we're testing for, and we're making billions of dollars in this industry. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. I think one of the things you just said hit me is like take it away, right? Because we saw during the pandemic that during COVID, cannabis retail dispensaries and stuff were made into essential businesses.
Yes.
And they were allowed to stay open, and they were allowed to put additional practices in place, in terms of drive-throughs
mm-hmm.
and contactless delivery and things of that nature. And so at a time when the country, when really mental health was being brought forward, those issues mm-hmm. of anxiety, of depression. Yes. I don't know if we just think that stuff went away, or if we just think that it started with COVID, but it's like, it's a lot of folk out here who may not have an official diagnosis,
yeah.
but they have been medicating for years to deal with PTSD, mm-hmm. to deal with anxiety, to deal with some of the just traumas of just, trying to make it in our world, in this yeah. capitalist society.
Yes, yes. And what really, really bothers me is that now that it's not taboo, and it's generally accepted, I won't say widely accepted,
yeah.
Now we're just finally reconciling that it's okay. We're just finally reconciling, like, oh, okay, yeah, it can be used for that. Or I use it to relax. Or, people are just finally getting to the place where they're kind of opening up about their use. Well, you've been using it for years.
Yeah.
But now it's okay. Now it's okay for you to say it out loud, but you're still whispering about it, and you only see it in closed spaces and things of that nature. And so that stigma, we do have educational model that we're working on, and working on some grants for that educational piece, because it's important. It's still very much a stigmatized drug or yeah. medicine. I call it a medicine.
It's
definitely a medicine, and it still has the stigma attached to it. And I don't know if, we're looking at the potential federal rescheduling of it. Thank you. Hopefully that happens soon to help these smaller businesses, mom and pop businesses. But I don't know if we're going to ever get to the place, at least I don't believe I'll see it in my lifetime, where it's not some type of stigma attached to it. Yeah. And I often think about the people who made these decisions when they were looking at these lists of drugs or lists of substances, because alcohol was once on that list. I would imagine that they probably had a glass of alcohol in their hand when they scratched that, like, hey, let's move this over to the other category. Let's move this over because we all have some bourbon around here, you know. But it goes to show you what time will do, right? Yeah. We all have a drink every now and then. Not all. Most people will have a social drink. But that was once considered prohibited. Mm-hmm. And so how many years has it taken for that to be normalized? And I figure cannabis probably have about the same time frame before we see a level of normalcy.
Yeah. I think the thing about, to your point about the rescheduling, that I'm excited about is the research that comes with that.
Yes.
Because one of the issues with the plant is, you know, we I grew up, they called it reefer or they called it weed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a natural, it's a growing substance.
Yes.
And so because of that, it is hard to have it the same. It's hard to reproduce, to get like an exact replica, because sure, everything impacts it. You know, if you're growing outdoors, the mm-hmm. rain, the air quality, you know what I mean? What's going on in terms of the pollination of other plants? Like sure, all of that impacts it. And so I'm so excited about the research. I'm yes, so excited about it actually being researched to explore the full scope of this plant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All of its benefits, what it can do. That is what, like, what I'm, and also removing, you know, 280E, that tax burden.
For sure.
because that right there got everybody in a chokehold.
Oh my God. As we were going through, and we had our performa, and we were going through just trying, we were trying to just get the building at this point. And I have to tell the story this way. So 811 credit score, maybe 2/3 of the money in the bank. Wanted to purchase the building outright. That was my goal. And I kept having all these banks say no. And I'm like, yeah, no, that don't make sense. So this one lady finally told me, and it was interesting. I appreciate her being honest. I said, well, can you give me an idea so that we can retool? She said, because I said, I feel like we checked all of the boxes. Like, right, not some of them, all of them. Just tell me. She said, oh, we're going in another direction. And so it wasn't about the 280E, because they asked that question about the difference between our net and our gross and things of that nature on the performa. Essentially, it was because we were a Black business. Simple. Because she tried to make it about the taxes. I'm like, oh, this is a recession proof. I went through the whole thing. It's a recession proof drug. You know, yeah, you don't have to worry about that. 280E, blah, 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 blah. We went on and on and on. And finally, that lady told me that. And so the access is very interesting. That 280E will make things different for our bottom lines. But essentially for us as minorities, it's more than 280E for us.
Yeah.
You know, even when you check all the boxes, that access is just not the same. It's not the same. Access to capital, access to opportunities. It's just not.
And you know, this is one of the arguments, right? Like, people are saying, you know, the rescheduling is not enough. We have to deschedule. And I agree with descheduling. I know that right now, congressionally, we don't have the roadmap for that. You know what I mean? Like, sure, they can barely pass a budget. you know, they crazy over there in Washington. They crazy up there. They can barely just handle the day to day.
For sure.
But to your point, again, when we're talking about the systems and just how deep the bias goes, now we're going back to redlining, right? Like, now we're going back
to, yeah,
we know if you selling your house, you need to take all the pictures down, right? Like you need to take out all, if you're just trying to refinance your home and they have to come in and do any kind of assessing, you have to take all of yourself out of it. You know what I mean? So that you can be judged fairly. And this is not something that we're pontificating here. This is like what we know. This is what we know, that we have seen a house be valued at $300,000 when it has pictures of us in it. And that same house, when it has been totally neutralized, if you will, mm-hmm. come back at $680,000 or something like that. Like we know this to be true.
Yes. Yes.
And so if it's that in the regular world, then I invite people to think about how it is in this space. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In this market that has such a heavy stigma, yes. and that there is not equal footing in terms of state decisions and federal decisions. You know what I mean?
I do. Without
this thing being on par. So how did you get through that? Like, I think, you know, this is your testimony. And I feel like it's important for others who are wishing to come after you. How did you get through that? Like, first and foremost, all your shit was together. You made sure that your stuff was together, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That was intentional. And we took the time to do that. And so be anxious for nothing. Right. This room and it's time. That would be for my first advice. Mm-hmm. You know, the joke I talk about, I always crack the joke about me speaking with my prayer partner saying, girl, we're going to be drug dealers, because when they look at other people, they look at them as business owners. When they look at us, they look at it as drug dealers. And I say that because it's the truth. I've had it said to me. So you're going to be running a drug company? No, ma'am. Cannabis business. No, sir, a cannabis business owner, not a drug business, although I laugh and joke about it that way, but it's truly how people see it.
Yeah.
One group of people is a drug business, for the other people, it's a cannabis business. And so with that in mind, I say stay intentional, be very deliberate, and make sure you land a solid foundation. Those are three major things, because we didn't want to put ourselves in a position where someone could snatch the rug out from under us, or someone could cut us off at the knees by saying, oh, we're not going to send you no product. I'm like, we don't need you to send us no product. We got our own stuff. We don't need it. You know, our hands been on this plant for years anyway. You know, our stuff is better anyway, you know. You know, and then we have a legacy conversion model. Because I could tell you, you know, while it is a regulated market and we making major money, you got people that will not come out of that legacy market for a reason. Trust is one of them. And to be able to convert those people, not only over on the business side, but on the youth side, is huge. And I have some people that's been legacy consumers all of their lives and have introduced them and have educated them, opened doors for them. We're going to be bringing some of them online as these classic legacy growers. I'm excited about that. And then the youth, you know, bringing them online and bringing them into the stores and getting them out of the streets. And so that is our mission, to just drive, use this plant, use this business to bring those legacy people forward. Because that mattress money that they've been making all of these years, let's convert that into some real capital for you.
Yeah.
And so that's part of our mission.
I love that. It is a thing that I individually, we as the ecosystem have mm-hmm. been preaching mm-hmm. in terms of, in order for this industry to sustain and grow, it has to prioritize the transition of legacy consumers and legacy operators.
Absolutely.
And with the current landscape of like compliance and this and that, and the taxing, there are no incentives for legacy operators or even consumers. Because like, if I can get an eighth over here for this amount, mm-hmm. and then you telling me I got to go to retail and the eighth is almost double once you add right. the taxes and everything to it. It's like, but why would I do that? Right. So we got to figure out how to, the government has to figure out how to not be so damn greedy. You're going to get your money. You're going to get your tax. You look, you getting more now than what you was getting.
Right.
You know, in terms of legacy. So you're going to get your money, but how to not be so greedy, because we need the incentives. We need the space for people to transition over.
Yeah. And you know, part of our strategy is to just introduce and to nurture.
Yeah.
And to lower that that trust threshold, because it's about trust. You can make money on both sides, you know, but on this side, you can be a wealth for your family.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's part of our messaging. We have some other stuff that I won't speak about here, but that's part of our messaging to convert. And we're giving them the opportunity to walk through our doors, through the Legacy Greens doors to do so, you know. Yeah. So that removes that barrier of having to come up with all of this money. And all of that, we've already laid that foundation. And so,
and that continues on the legacy, right?
Absolutely.
Cause it's like you over here, people know you, you already got a customer base over there. But to your point, when you're thinking about legacy for your family, for the generations to come, you don't want them to be worried about somebody kicking in the dough. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
And for them to be, for there to be asset forfeiture, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
You want to make sure that your stuff is on the books and that you are building a true legacy.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I get so excited about it because you know, you call it reefer. My father used to call it peyote. So I'm from a line of let's say legacy growers.
Yes. Yes.
And legacy distributors.
Yes.
And so if you know that group of people, you know that the first thing they're going to do is the lack of trust. And that's because the system has some of these people that did 16, 20 years.
Yeah.
But it's plant.
Yeah.
Just so they could feed their family, and they come home and you're like, what? It's what? Regulated?
Yeah.
What? I just did 16 years. Like, where's my reparations for that?
And talk about that trauma, right? Like, talk about the trauma of, I literally have paid for this.
Yes.
With my life. I've lost, family members have come and gone while I've been away.
Yes.
Relationships have been severed or have been hardened. And to come
children
back.
Children grown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Missed the whole childhood.
Yeah. And to come back and have to still fight for a place.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And then be put in a position where it's demeaning that you have to, because of the way like the predatory lending and all that stuff goes on, you in a position where it's like you got to sell yourself to these people. And it's like
it's
I am it.
It's let me tell you something. It's literally humiliating because I literally, and I'm a thinker. So first of all, I'm empathic. So when I walk in a room, sometimes I already know what the outcome is. But, you know, I kind of jump through the hoops and kind of chuckle. And sometimes on the back end, I would say, so did I change your mind from the first thought you had when I came in here? Did I change you? And mostly the first question I get is, what medical area are you in? I'm like, you know, there's more than one doctorate degree. It's not all tied to the medical field. You know, they naturally assume that I'm a medical doctor.
Yeah.
And then the next question is, so you want to sell drugs? Remember I told you it's not cannabis for some people. You want to sell drugs? I'm like, no, we're a cannabis business.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
People speak what's in their hearts.
Yeah,
they do. They can't control it most of the time. They speak what's in their hearts. And so it leaves an impression. And most of the time, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You're like, oh, that was a colossal waste of my time.
Yeah.
And so we have to make room for us. We have to. That's why I'm so thankful for you. Like, I'm so thankful for you and Christine and a few other people, because when I was struggling trying to figure out just the footing in this industry, your doors were open and you were willing to have those conversations and help me build that knowledge base. We have to do the same thing with people who are trying to not only navigate this space, but to just get into this market, be it a brand, be it a strand, be it a grower. We have educational models right now. I'm building out an educational program because I'm over it. I'm sick of it. I'm like, what? No, I don't want people to go through what I went through. Hey, brother, sister, here go the information right here. Come get it. Like, come get this information. And yes. I'm like, come on and walk through this door. Let me show you over here how this thing can be done. And my background is in system and compliance. I've been doing this for 30 years. So that's the easy part for me. People find it difficult. I'm like, nope, here you go right here. Here go the system right here. It's already laid out for you. So we have an educational model program. We have systems. We're doing a lot of coaching and things of that nature just to kind of help people navigate this terrain. Because this information, people want you to pay $15,000, $20,000 for it. I'm like, yeah, no. Yeah. No, we're going to do it over here, and we're going to give it to them for free. How about that?
Yeah.
Beat that price, you know. Yeah. Give them a better shot. You know, information should flow freely anyway.
Absolutely. So
we're all about building that, whichever way we can do it, be it education, be it by opening the door and letting you through, be it come and watch, come and see. See how these systems really work and see how they align to the regulation and see what happens. You want to avoid being slapped with fees and all these other things if you can't help it. And so we're just committed and excited for all of that.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And you know, women, we always do it right anyway. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I knew that it was going to be huge. I knew it was going to be huge. I knew you were going to do it. I knew you and your team was going to do it in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. I want to allow you real quick though to touch on the building of the team. I know you got your prayer partner, your cousin. Hey, cousin.
Hey, cousin.
I know you got your prayer partner, and that is so important, right? Mm-hmm. Attaching this spiritually, right? And making sure that you are intrinsically motivated, because there are going to be so many tough days and like so many doors slammed to where if you are not invested in that way, then you're not going to be able to make it through. But I want to talk real quick about the team that you built, you know what I mean? And the intentionality around that.
So we have it was unintentional, but it happened this way. We have a team full of women. it just worked out that way. CFO with Linda from Insights. They're mostly advisory right now, but amazing women. Like one of our members, she's Ganja clergy. This lady knows so much about this plant. Lord have mercy. She's definitely a support on the educational side. And then Pamela Gaynor, who's our general manager. And then myself, we've been rocking it out. Just getting it done. And I'm thankful because we did it all without paying for consultations and all those additional fees. We sat down and buckled down and did all of that ourselves. I'm currently writing the curriculum. It's almost up. So we'll have our school up soon, within the next 30 days. That'll be up. Yeah. And just some other products and things. Then I wrote a book. You can get it on Amazon.
Girl, wait, let's plug this book. Wait, stop playing.
I didn't even bring it down here.
Okay.
It's called Cultivating Success.
I'm going to pull it up and I'll add it to the graphics.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Dr. Floyd.
Yes, ma'am.
This is one thing that we have to get better at.
Yes.
You gotta be ready to talk your shit and put out there. Cause look, we so big on doing the work. You know what I'm saying? We are so big on not talking about it, but just being about it. You know, 10 toes down, doing what needs to be done. And it's other folk who be out there like, yeah, I got this. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we have to make sure that we also to our own horns, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Make sure that we are given the full scope of our accomplishments and what we, you know, what we're working on. So I will definitely be plugging that. Y'all heard her, Cultivating Success.
Yes. It is
on Amazon. Let's make sure that that we tap into that. Let's make sure we tap into that and support Dr. Floyd and all the amazing work that her and her team are out there in the 313 doing, Legacy Greens. Before we get out of here, what do you want the people to know? I know everything is still in the process, but where will you be located? What area of the city will you be in? Go ahead and plug that. Plug all the important stuff for me.
All right. So we will be located on Mount Elliott, 19347 Mount Elliott on the northeast side of Detroit. We will have a dispensary and a cannabis consumption lounge in the same building. So come check us out. We have events coming up. You can follow us on our webpage at www.legacygreensllc.com for more event information. Our school will be up and running probably within the next 20 days or so. And so check us out. A lot of free information, ebooks. I've written a few ebooks. You can get hard copies as well. We have educational programs for building entrepreneurship. And we're just excited about what we're doing and where we're going. I'm an educator by trade. And so, of course, I'm always playing that sandbox. But it is about this business and getting this money and building this wealth and restoring the community. I like to say we restore, invest, develop, and educate. We ride for our community. So check us out.
Listen, I love it. I can't wait until I'm back up there to visit.
I can't wait.
So I can check you out. All my Detroit people, you know, I'm definitely going to be plugging it with them. Once you have any graphics and things of that nature, please send it. This is what it's about, people. This is what it's about. It is about, as you climb the mountain, you got to reach that hand back. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. It's no fun to be up at the top by yourself. You know what I mean? The whole goal has to be who's up there dancing with you, who's up there enjoying with you. And it just really makes me so happy to see where you've come and where you're going, to know where you're going. And I want everybody to support Dr. Floyd, y'all. I want everybody to support Dr. Floyd, Legacy Greens. Until the next time.
Yes, yeah, sis. Thank you for having me on the show. This was dope.
Yeah.
I really enjoy your episodes. And I'm eating popcorn and sipping on a martini like, look at Frederica. Get it, girl.
Wait, let me play this outro. Let me play this outro real quick. Yeah, stay blunt. All right.